You to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the 7th verse. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the 7th verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord is very clear in what he speaks to his dear people. Whether it be clear in direction, or clear in comforting them, or encouraging them, or clear in reproving them, or clear in rebuking them. And here we have a very clear message given by the Lord. And the clear message is this: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We are so often stumbling along, uncertain in things. And the reason is so often because we're poor, fallen sinners. There's nothing in ourselves to direct ourselves or to cause us to look to the Lord. But as he gives his dear people grace, they will have to come to submission, and so often this is brought through the Lord humbling his dear people. And here, dear Peter was to be the messenger of God, and so often we find throughout the word of God, the Lord used Peter as his messenger. And may this be a clear message to each of our souls today. It may be there are those that are walking in things you've never walked in before, that you never anticipated would come. But the message is clear. I had to take the reading at Bethesda on Friday. We went in the home and immediately the home manager asked me to take the reading, and I felt, well, what shall I read? And immediately this word came: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And it has abode with me. And so we venture to read this sacred chapter. But in this first clause, casting all your care upon him, it's been with me, there are three precious things here. The first is the cares that the Lord's dear people have. And the second is what they're going to do with those cares. Well, the message is clear: casting all your care upon him. And the third thing is this hymn. It seemed to so rest upon me. It's none other than the Lord himself. We may say the Blessed Trinity: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, may the Lord help me this morning to look a little at these three precious themes. Casting all your care upon Him. Well, I don't know what the cares may be of your heart this morning, but the Lord knows. And that's a wonderful mercy, isn't it? He knows those particular cares that you have. Really, what Peter was doing when he penned this, he was referring back to Psalm 55, what we read. In that sacred psalm, we find this parallel word, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And you see, dear David at that time was in ever so much trouble. He had many cares, and one particular care he had was this. That there had been those that he'd walked with to the house of God and had sweet counsel together with them. But then they turned to be his enemies. Ahithophel. He completely turned against David. And yet in days past he'd had sweet counsel and they'd walked together. But now, he turned to be an enemy of David. And this was such a great care to David. A great burden, a great concern. And the Lord wonderfully spoke to him, didn't he? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And now, these cares then. Of course, we could name a whole catalogue of them. But I would begin with our own souls. Each one of us here has got a never-dying soul. The world and the ungodly are not troubled about their soul. It's not a concern to them, is it? Why? Because they don't realise they've got a never-dying soul that's got to spend eternity either with the Lord forever in heaven or in the bottomless pit in hell. But for the Lord's dear children that he has put his grace in, his fear, it's a great concern about their souls. If the Lord were to suddenly take you or me from time into eternity, where shall we spend it? You know, we take our breath for granted, don't we? We get up, we think we're still going to live through the day. Or we go to bed at night and we think we shall rise in the morning. But you see, every breath that we draw is in the Lord's hand. Oh, it is. And if he takes away that breath, we shall be in eternity. But what about our souls? And maybe those of you this morning that it's such a great burden and care to you. Lord, how is it with my soul? Is it well with me? Is this the burden and care you have this morning? And then another great care that the child of God has is the great burden and care of their sins. It's not somebody else's sin. It's easy to look at somebody else's, but we look in our own hearts. You so often hear people speak about other people's sins, but how often do we speak about our own? So easy to look at others and see their sin, but look at our own heart. And the more we know of our own heart, and the sin there is within, the more a burden it will be and the more a care it will be. And the Lord sees fit to bring these cares upon his dear people. Why? That they might cast them upon him and leave them at his dear feet. You think of the dear publican when he went up to the temple to pray. Oh, the great care, the great burden that was upon him. And it was a burden and care that he couldn't get out from under. You know, there are those burdens and cares that we have laid on us by the Lord, and there's no getting out from under them. He lays them upon us. And what does it do? It really exercises our hearts and our souls before the Lord. What shall we do under this care, Lord? Well, think of David with all what I said concerning Ahithophel and those that were his friends and yet turned to be his enemies. What had he got to do with them? Cast them upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. And this is what David was enabled to do, you see. To leave them with the Lord. But then there are the cares that we have, like the publican, of maybe some particular sin. With the children of Israel through the wilderness, the great care they had was the sin of unbelief. Oh, that sin of unbelief. It plagued them every day. And it may be, there are those of you, it may not be unbelief, but some particular sin. We think of those words, what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And what was that sin? That sin was unbelief. We're plagued by it, aren't we? It doesn't trouble the world or just professors of religion, but it troubles the real child of God. It's a burden to them, a care to them. And how often they have to cast it upon the Lord. But think of the dear publican. The wonderful mercy was with the publican. He got a God to go to that understood him, that knew the great weight of sin that was upon him. And he went to the right place with it all, didn't he? It's like one of the hymns says, doesn't it? Take everything to God in prayer. It's a wonderful mercy, isn't it? When we can feel that all our cares we can leave with the Lord. Cast them upon him. But I'll come to that casting in a moment. And then, of course, there are the cares of providence. The pathway you're walking in, it may be your work or at school or the things you have to deal with daily, and it's a daily care to you, burden to you. You get up in the morning and you have to say, Lord, help me. Help me through the day with all these cares that I've got upon me. And then, of course, there are the cares of families, our loved ones. Are they a care to you, a burden to you, a concern to you? But oh, to be able to cast them upon the Lord, to leave them with him. Some of you may have read of old John Warburton, you know, his son John, that was later pastor at Southill. He was a very wild character, young John Warburton, in his early days. And old John Warburton prayed and prayed for his son. But the Lord seemed to turn a deaf ear to his prayer. And in the end, dear old John Warburton was at the end, we may say, of all things he felt to be in this matter, of this care. And he said to the Lord, Lord, take him, damn him, do what you like with him. I can't pray for him anymore. And you know, from that very hour, the Lord began to work in that young man. The dear man had come to the end, but the Lord hadn't, you see. I've often thought about that, you know. Dear old John Warburton, in all the burden that he had, felt to come to the end, but the Lord hadn't. And the Lord was to work. And he worked mightily in him and called him by his grace and then, of course, raised him up to be a faithful servant of God and pastor at South Hill for many years. Cast in all your care upon him. But then there are the daily cares we may have, some that may be ever so small. You know, I sometimes feel that we have to pray over some of the small things that other people may say, well, they shouldn't be a care to you, can manage that. But we don't want to be left, you see, to try and manage things ourselves. If it's a care to us, we shall have to take it to the Lord. Oh, yes. And we could say of many other cares that you've got, the great cares of every day that are upon you. And then, of course, there are those of us in offices in the church where, like the care of the pastor, the care of the ministry, the burdens of it. And then there are those in the deacons in the choice of the hymns. You know, many people say, well, there's 1,156 hymns in the hymn book. It's easy to choose a hymn. But you know it's not. There have been many times special services here and when I was at Ashwell, you know, to know the Lord's choice in it, that was his appointment, we should give it out. And you know, it's a great care. But what a mercy it is we got somewhere to go with these cares. I may not have named the care that you have, but the Lord knows what it is. Oh, he does. There may be one why the Lord has given me this text, and I realise it's a very familiar word, preach from many, many times. But you know, if this is the message of heaven for some poor soul, the Lord has given it to me, this is just what you need. And it won't be just today. It'll be for the days to come. None of us know what cares we may have to bear. It may be in business. It may be in our families, it may be in the church of God, it may be in our inmost souls. You think of dear old Jacob, the great cares he had concerning his family. You know, if you read closely through the life of dear old Jacob, you'll find he had ever so many cares concerning his offspring. But you know, dear old Jacob had got a good God to go to with them all. A God that understood. A God that could appear for him. A God that could make bare his arm and work for him. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then think of that great care that he had of the famine in the land. Normally in March, the corn is high enough to cover a hare. This year, it wouldn't cover hardly a small animal, let alone a hare. The solemn judgments of God, but do we light the heart? We're told there'll be a harvest, but we don't know what harvest that'll be. It may be ever so small. I understand that this nation devours about 14 million tons of wheat a year, and at last harvest there was only 11 million tons. And when you think of a lot of the corn that's not sown already this year, is it a care to us? You say, well, it's a care to the farmer. Why should it be to me? Because, well, it should be to us. Because really it's God's solemn judgment upon the nation. But oh, to be brought to be in concern about these cares we have, whatever they may be, I may not name them. It may be some small thing, it may be some great thing with you. The future, the unknown way, is it a care to us? Lord, what is thy will? What is thy purpose? Well, here the message was clear. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What about this casting then? We've got all these cares and they stack up, don't they? But what are we going to do with them? It's a solemn thing if we try and manage these cares ourselves, isn't it? But what a blessed thing when we can cast them all upon the Lord. Leave them with him. You know, really, looking at this casting in its reality, it means putting it from you. When you cast something, you put it from you, don't you? Now, that doesn't mean to say we carelessly put away those cares we have. The instruction is very clear. There's a casting them, but where are we casting them? Well, the text is clear. Upon him, the Lord. Because in the verse previous, Peter speaks, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, so often the Lord brings his people when to cast their cares upon him into a very low place where they cannot do anything else, only cast them upon him, leave them with him. There's a blessed word, I often quote it, in the case of Potiphar in that 39th chapter of Genesis. You remember when Joseph was taken to the house of Potiphar. And then in that house of Potiphar, what do we read? That Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And everything in Potiphar's house was left in Joseph's hand. Now, think of it concerning these cares which you've got, these burdens. Oh, to leave them in the hand of the Lord, the heavenly Joseph. Cast them upon him. We read in Psalm 37, don't we? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, if you commit something, like when at a funeral we commit the mortal remains of the person that's taken away from this earth into that tomb. And when you commit them there, You're not allowed to take them up, only by court of law. Once they're lowered, as only a court of law of this land can ever permit them to be raised. They're left there, aren't they? And they will be left there to the resurrection morn. Committed, you say. And this is what this casting means. Leaving them in the hands, these cares, these burdens, in the hands of the Lord. Don't try and take them away with you. We do so often, don't we? I know old Mr. Windridge said on one occasion, he said, friends, we say we're casting our cares upon the Lord, or we're committing our way to the Lord. He said, and what are we doing? We're holding on to the tail of it. In other words, we're not leaving it completely with him. And this is what is set before us here. You see, casting all your care. That which you've got today, that which weighs you down, whatever it may be, upon the Lord. Not anywhere else. But you know, so often we have to come right down to the depths to cast it, don't we? We seem so often to hold on the tail of it. There may be one today you're doing that. You say, well, I try and cast it upon the Lord, but I so often bring it away with me. When I come away from the throne of grace, I bring it back with me. I've still got it. Oh, to be able to leave it. I may have told you before, but some years ago I was so burdened and troubled. I'd had a lot of problems with my car, and I was so troubled about whether to change it or not and what to do in the matter. And I tried to pray over it, and I tried to plead with the Lord he would show me, but so often I seemed to come away and I still didn't know what to do. And one day I went into a bedroom in their old house in Steeple Morden, and I walked through the door, and it was such a weight to me, Lord, what shall I do? And, you know, the Lord answered me in a moment with that beautiful verse of the hymn. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much. And, you know, as he dropped that in, I said, Lord, I can leave it all with thee. And within 2 days I had a check come for the exact amount to buy a new car. And you know, it was the Lord did it all. I had to wait his time. I had to come low enough to leave it with him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I don't know why I say that, but you see, in providence, in grace, in all your pathway, cast in all your care. Let us just pause a moment. What does he say? All your care, not some of it, not part of it. All your care upon him. May we lay that to heart this morning. All your care, those small things, those great things, those mountains that you have, those impossibilities, those things that really trouble you, casting all your care upon him. And this is why I said at the commencement, it is so clear, isn't it? It seemed to come to me so powerfully after I read it at Brighton. The reality of this. You see, when the Lord speaks a word to his dear children, whatever it be, there'll be reality in it, and there'll be life in it, and there'll be everything the soul will need in it. I've often said about the promises of the Lord, they're comprehensive, you see, they cover every point. And think of this word, cast in all your care. Notice the word in your care. There may be one sitting there this morning, or it may be this poor sinner. Your care, not somebody else's. Though I would lovingly say this, it is right we should be concerned about other people's cares. So often we hear of those, and we think of several this morning, in deep affliction. Some that are young, and what a care it is. Those near and dear to us, the cares that we have concerning. Cast in all your care. Commit them to the Lord. Bring them to him. We think of those in affliction today, or I think of several of our dear friends, and the depths they have been in and still in, some of them. And we would continually bring them as help to the throne of grace and cast them upon the Lord, because it's he that can heal them, you know. Well, let me use an illustration. I haven't thought of this, it's just come. But you think of that dear man that was sick of the palsy. It affected his whole life. If you read all the conditions about a palsy that those souls had years ago, the intensity of the affliction. It was not only a burden to that dear man, was it? There were those around him, it was a burden to them too. It's like in the gospel we read of the dear woman, I mention it in prayer, that came and worshipped the Lord saying, Lord, help me. It was not just the burden of her sin and trouble she was in, it was the burden of her daughter that was so tempted, and Satan was out to destroy her, and to the dear mother it was such a burden. And the same with the 9th of Mark, where the dear man brought his son to the Lord Jesus. And what did the dear man say? Satan cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And it was such a burden, wasn't it? But you know, those dear souls, they went to the right place with it. And they brought their burden to the Lord, and they laid them at his dear feet. Or they did. But go back to the man sick of the palsy. You look at the burden there was to those about him. They carried him up to the top of the roof because the house was full and they couldn't get him in the doors. And they let him down. And where did they let him down to? The feet of Jesus. It was not only a burden to them, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It was not only a burden to them. They had faith to believe the Lord would relieve them of the burden. And that's why they came to him. And let us pause a moment to look at that, because you see here the text says, cast in all your care. upon him. Why do you come to him with this care? Not only because it's too great for you or too great for any man, because you come because you got faith to believe that he will relieve you of the care and that he will sustain you under the care. And that's what those dear men, as they let down that man sick of the palsy, how great the burden was, and they bring him to the right place, to the feet of Jesus, believing that the Saviour would heal him. And you look how the Saviour healed him, not only a body from that palsy, but in his soul from all his sin. When the Pharisees questioned why he said, "Take up thy bed and walk," and immediately the dear man did, he said, "Whether was easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" You see, the root of a lot of these burdens is because of our sin. Oh, it is. Because of sin. And that's what it was with the dear man. Sin is the root of all affliction, the root of all trouble. He said, "I will visit the sins of the fathers upon their children, even to the third and fourth generation." And this will make you very cautious, you know. It is that troubles me ever so much, lest my sin, the visit of the Lord upon it, should even be carried through to the third and fourth generation. Solemn, you know. But I must hasten. Cast in all your care. And then the third point, upon him, you say. This blessed man, even Jesus, who has all power in heaven and in earth to deliver you from these cares, who has all power to heal the afflicted, to remove the burdens. Let me just say what the Saviour himself said. That beautiful word, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He didn't say, "Come unto me, all you that are at ease and have no burdens," did he? He addressed it particularly to those that were labouring under load and had many burdens. "Come unto me." What a sweet invitation, isn't it, to sinners? "Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore." Oh, may we have that sweet invitation spoken to us. "Cast in all your care upon him." Him that understands, you see, all that you need. Him that can make a way where there seems no way. Him that can deliver when no man can deliver. And him that can hold you up and sustain you under these loads. Let me just go back to that 55th Psalm. You know, it's a wonderful word, that is. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." There may be those of you this morning, why name it, that have got burdens that you long for the Lord to free you from and to appear for you in, but that may not be the Lord's will or the Lord's way. There are times when he lays burdens upon us that we will have to carry till we breathe our last breath. But how can you carry them? You'll say, well, they're too great for me, Lord. Well, he shall sustain me. And that's why the Holy Spirit has left on record that beautiful word, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And how will he sustain thee? He has sustained thee by his blessed arms being under you. Those everlasting arms to sustain you. He has sustained you by maybe speaking a sweet promise to you like he did to the Apostle Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh. The Lord didn't take it away, did he? He had to still bear that burden and that care and that thorn, but the Lord sustained him under it. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, what a word to sustain us. It may be he will speak a sweet promise to you, and it sustains you. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, but as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you know the children of Israel would approve that right the way through the wilderness. All the tribe of Asher would approve it. The Lord sustaining them. He gave them shoes of iron and brass to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And he gave them strength equal to their day to sustain them. So he says, cast in all your care upon him. May the Lord, if nothing I've rambled round this morning, be applied to us. May this sacred word, cast in all your care. Those cares of time, the great cares concerning eternity, upon him, a precious Jesus. And then he seals it home, for he careth for you. And may the Lord sweetly seal that home to you and to me today. His tender, loving care. Amen.